Welcome back to Matt Chat, everybody. And I am here with the winner of season 47, Rachel Lamont. How are you? Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. I love your podcast. I love you. And so I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to talk about this episode. I mean, and also preview what's about to happen next, because episode 10 was a crazy, crazy episode.
So my notes are very long. Like just the post-tribal part where I'm like, how do we track everyone, everything everyone said and all of the names that were said? And there was a couple when I was going back where I was like, we don't even know where this came from. Like, where did this come from? And where did that come from? So true chaos.
True chaos is a very good way to put it. And then I feel like what happens after this, like, I feel like in up until episode 10 ish, maybe episode 10, not, we didn't know what the Mr. Beast twist was exactly, but I felt like, you know, there was kind of a clear path forward here. I think that there was like literally like a bomb that was dropped. And I feel like just there's shrapnel flying, things are going to go like chaos is going to happen from here on forward. And I'm really excited to watch. How do you feel? I mean, obviously we're going to preview episode 11, but like from episode 10, like going into it, like starting it off, I guess we'll start off at the beginning of the episode. Rick Devens sits everyone down and says, I lied. I remember that other crazy tribal council. I lied. Did you feel like this was a good way for Rick to start off, you know, this day, this episode?
I had the same question for you. I literally said, oh, was this a good move? Because I don't know. I think maybe in a slightly different group of people, it would have been a good move. I think that there are groups of people that probably would have like clocked that it was fake and that he was faking it, and coming clean about it would just kind of clear the air and allow him to do the thing he was trying to do, I think, which was like, don't pile votes on me to try to flush this idol. It's not a real idol. Put your attention on somebody else. I think that that's a sound strategy. I think the problem is like with this honor integrity cloud over us, this is a bad move. Admitting that you've been lying to everyone, that you are scheming, that you like are smart and strategic and you're doing things that are like causing chaos, I don't think it was the best choice.
Yeah. And I also think that like, you know, Rick is a very interesting player, because I think that he uses attention in a really interesting way. And like I think I heard Stephen Fishback say it on the Know-It-Alls or something, where he was like, Rick Devens knows how to do tribal council. And what, like the one thing that I've been saying since literally I've started talking about Survivor online, it's like my catchphrase, if you will, tribal council is theater. And I think that Rick Devens is the best performer at tribal council because he can use that attention. But I think that there are some times in Survivor where attention is not your friend. And I think that telling people, yeah, this is fake, I don't hate that. But I think sitting everyone down, like in a circle, like you're at a kindergarten class saying, hey friends, like this is actually fake and look what's in here, I think draws too much attention on him. And granted, another big thing happened to like shift the attention still on him, but like in a different way.
Yeah.
I think if that hadn't happened, it would have been too much attention. Whisper it to other people. Be like, guys, it's fake.
Yeah. Tell your allies and let your spouse, because then someone will be like, oh, good. Like, we don't have to flush it. He's not a threat. We don't have to worry about him. But like having a presentation, when you said that, it kind of sparked something into me, and I can't think of when this happened, so forgive me because this might go nowhere, but earlier in the season someone did something similar where they like sat everyone down and told them something, and I believe like it was one of those things where you're like, you should have done that with individuals and not to the entire group. It'll come back to me maybe in a little bit.
Why do I feel like that was Savannah, but I don't think it was.
I mean, it could have been. She told everyone she won, right? So that could have been it, but
I know, yeah. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know, where it's like something about putting yourself in a position to kind of like present to the class feels very different than kind of like letting the word organically spread and letting people form their opinions about it without it feeling like I think when you sit down in that scenario, they're like, what does he want out of this? He planned this. Like, what is his intentions here? And they're going to be more skeptical about the thing you're saying, which he literally said, you don't have to flush the idol. It's not real. Don't vote for me. And I think that if it was done in secret and it spread as it of course would, it would have probably been a little bit more effective.
Yeah. It's like in Princess Bride, where it's like, is the poison in front of you or is it in front of me? Well, you said it was over there, so I wouldn't, it's not going to be there. That's kind of what I feel like could happen in that situation. And granted, there were some people who felt like it was fake and he did tell Emily, but I just think leave it at that. Let, if you tell Emily, the word will probably get out. Lover, but the word will probably get out. So just like leave it at that and let that spread. Luckily though, the attention was pulled from him pretty quickly, right? Like, you know, the auction coming back, classic auction, you know, and then Mr. Beast and then all of that chaos and then that tribal council. So I think lucky for him, nothing really came of that.
Yes.
Because I think it could have been bad. But as somebody who is an alumni of the auction, the old auction, how did it feel to
the old new auction,
new adventures of old auction. How did it feel to see like the classic auction back?
It was cool. I mean, I will say that while it's not that fun to watch the jungle hunt on TV, it was pretty fun to do. So I will I like that. But here's the thing. I like that they all have the same amount of money. And I think that obviously no votes lost. Excellent. But it also felt like people were buying multiple things. Like we saw multiple people up there with multiple things. I think the only person who got two items at our auction was Saul, because he bought the very first one for like $75. Jeff was like, first person to say 75. And then he did that. And then he got something else later. Sierra got two as well, because she had the most money. But that was it. Like everybody else got one item. And I felt like we saw a lot of people eating multiple things. And I just think that an equitable amount of money lets everybody kind of bid when they actually want to, you know, and I think it was just cool instead of having it kind of be like a semi-predetermined. It doesn't go in that exact order, but it's pretty similar, right? A couple people switch here and there, or someone's like, I don't want a hot steamy bowl of mac and cheese. Like it happens, but yeah.
I think that it was really fun. Like I think the when the auction came back in 45, I was just happy for it to be back, right?
Yes,
and then when it came back in 47, I was like, again, I'm just happy that it's here. But like seeing classic auction back, where like I kind of feel that off camera or before they started recording or whatever, Jeff said, hey guys, no advantages. Like there's nothing, like really truly, there's nothing. Cause when Rick Devens bid on the first thing, I said, oh, I think that it's gonna be a fun auction.
Yeah, that's fair. I bet they did say that, because it just felt like, and they were asking so many questions that I wonder if he gave enough info to make them feel like they could ask even more details.
Aubrey, I love that moment. Aubrey, like, how many are there, Jeff?
And he's like,
so good.
This isn't what's happening. and I really liked the Tide Destiny type prizes. It was fun to have two variations of that, one where they win and or lose together, and the other where someone has to like lose to let the other person win. And god, that sea cucumber, sea slug, what was it?
I think it was a sea slug, whatever it was. Not for me.
I'm willing to eat a lot of things. Those grubs, like that would be awful, but I could do it. I don't know if I could eat that sea cucumber. It was nasty. Like the amount of, like, he had to bite so hard and rip it so hard for it to like even break. I was in awe. When he said at the end, it was like eating rubber bands. I was like, wow.
So bad.
And he didn't even get anything out of it.
I would be like, sorry, Ozzy. Goodbye. Like, I know.
I would take a bite, and then when I like cannot bite it in half, I would be like, I'm done.
I literally had to leave the room. I had to I was with my friends. I literally was like, guys, I'm out for this one. I've never been a fear factor girl. Like I like the gross eating challenges, like fine, but like I have to, like I cannot. I think maybe I picture myself doing it a little too much. And I'm like, I can't do this. I gotta remove myself from the situation. But it's kind of fun to see that chaos back. Like Aubrey saying, what did she say? Like, I'm a psycho, let's do it. Put that on a t-shirt and sell it. Like that was iconic. I love that.
I really liked, it was a very fun auction with a lot of nice moments, and like Sari puking, but like saying, I'm going to come back and finish after I go puke. Just like, let me leave for a minute. And, you know, Emily being like, I'm going to pay for this later. I'm going to like shit myself. It was all good fun, you know?
It was all good fun. Yeah. A boot and rally for a charcuterie board, I don't think I've ever seen Incredible. There's a theory. I don't know if it's a real theory or kind of a fake theory, but I'm going to say it here anyway. There's a theory that there was something hidden, like you, in Ceri's charcuterie board. And the reason why she went to go throw up was to go hide the notes.
Oh, that would have been interesting. I think they would have shown us.
I think they would have shown us too. But that would have been, I mean, that's a great way to hide something.
Yeah, it would be. Like just rolled up in a little piece of meat.
Yeah. And I feel like, were you expecting like something like yours in this auction?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Well, in this auction. No, I think once I saw that it was like equal amounts of money and it felt like, I don't know, I wasn't expecting it. I think I just like really wanted it to be kind of back to basics and was happy that it was that way. And I mean, we still had the like thing at the end with Mr. Beast and the letters and, you know, I think they still got their like twist in, you know? Yeah. So I think it worked. Yeah.
Definitely worked. Do you think we'll see this same iteration of the auction in the future again? Like, I think it went over pretty well. I feel like we will see something like this. Yes, maybe.
I hope so. I hope that we see it. And then if people decide to try and break it again, they can do that. But I think as long as they don't announce advantages and keep them in covered items or like sneaky in food, that you can't really break it. You know, there's no way to do that. I don't think. I'm sure someone will figure it out, but I wasn't sure if it was me.
No, I froze. I froze like this too. Really cute. I also think that like, I don't hate bringing back advantages in the auction uncovered. Just don't have it be the last item. Like, don't let it be this like predictable, it's going to be do everything. And then at the very end, it's the last item. Like, have it be the third item in and have more stuff after. Like, I feel like there are ways to play it. It just, I think Survivor, what it comes down to is the more predictable it is, I feel like for the players is when they can hack stuff, is when that like it becomes broken. But if you keep it unpredictable, it's, you know, unpredictable.
I think this is not my idea. I heard this at some point from somebody, but hiding it, like auctioning off a scroll and having it be a disadvantage would be one way to also break the auction because for it in production's favor, because now it's like, yeah, you might know that there's something written on this, but that doesn't mean it's good. You know, like it could just be, and not that we should be losing votes, but it could just be like, you lose your vote tonight, you know? Mm-hmm. And then now everyone in the future, once that happens one time, everyone in the future is going to second guess whether that's something they want to like risk. And it's no longer a gimme or something that I'm going to definitely save my money for. Yeah. Yeah,
that's a great idea. It's like, you know, like the bringing in the chaos aspect of it, of the what was it, chaos or calm or whatever, really weird advantage or chaos or however they said it. But it's like literally this could be an advantage or it could be bad and you have to balance it out. I think that's a great idea. Now, bringing in the big chaos moment here, Mr. Beast walks out. Prior to the episode, how were you feeling about the cameos overall, but like the Mr. Beast one in particular?
Look, my expectation, I have not enjoyed the cameos of these celebrities very much this season. You know, my girl went out finding two Billie Eilish boomerang idols. We don't need to talk about it or rehash it here, but I'm not happy. And the country singer who I always want to call Luke Bryan, but it's not Luke Bryan. What's his name?
Zach Brown.
Zach Brown. They're all like, you know, these short first name men. Hate is a strong word. Didn't love. Didn't unnecessary. But I expected to hate this a lot more than I did.
Yeah.
So it was actually the best one, I think, of the season, in my opinion. And while I think it was like, I don't know. We could talk through the coin flip mechanics.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, is it a little OP? But at the same time, if you're going to go home, if you get it wrong, then it's got to be like a little OP. So I don't know. I just think like getting immunity in this one and an idol is a lot.
It is a lot. But I will say on the actual mechanics of the cameo, like what Mr. Beast, and I made a video about this and I stand by it. Like, I think that it's the best one that's happened. And I was iffy. This one, I will say, is also the one that made the most sense because he is like a game guy. Like, that's his thing.
Well, and it impacted the game in a specific way that felt gamey instead of just like a layer on an idol or like a literal cameo from a celebrity.
Yeah. Like, this is my big thing. Daryl Seymour said new to stay in his lane. And maybe it was re-edited, or maybe this is how they did it. I just think that he came in, he showed his thing, he was there to have a good time, he left, he didn't get a confessional. That was my big thing about the Zach Brown. I hated mm-hmm. that he got confessionals. Mm-hmm. That is like sacred to me. And people will bring up like loved ones. I don't want anyone other than a Survivor player to get a confessional. Sorry. Mm-hmm. That's just sacred to me. And so he just came out, did his thing, left, came out, mm-hmm. did his thing, left. And let the players.
And it was like enough. It was enough of him talking, but not too much that he was trying to, like, you know, do it, be anything he wasn't.
And Jeff was like, I feel like Jeff was trying to give him more credit. And then he was like, no, Survivor's like the OG thing. Like, I haven't, like, it's like, and I was like, man, like, this is, why am I liking this? Like, what is happening right now? I hate that I'm liking this. But I will say, we can talk about the actual advantage later, but I will say the threat of the advantage made a very, very fun scramble at the beach, in my opinion. No one knew what it was, or disadvantage. No one knew what was going to happen, right? And mm-hmm. so I think the threat of that created one of the more interesting scrambles I think I've ever seen, where I know that there is sometimes they play with the editing and they make it look crazy and chaotic. This genuinely felt crazy and chaotic.
I agree.
And I loved that.
Yeah. I think the only things that might have been, I don't know, like those, I forgot which names at the very end. Like when they circled back to like Devin's and Aubrey again at the very end, I feel like that was like a little, but then Aubrey's name came up as the decoy in the live tribal. So like, I don't know, like who knows, but everything else felt pretty genuine. I think that, it did turn like four times, even if it maybe didn't turn six, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that it's interesting hearing all of these people's names, because I think it also put people in a game position that maybe have not had to be in that position mm-hmm. thus far in the game. And it was exciting. And, you know, in that scramble, correct me if I'm wrong, the first name we heard was Ozzy, yes, from Jonathan?
I believe the first name was the easy vote is Devin's. I think that was the like stage that was set. And then it was, yeah, Jonathan going after Ozzy by telling Stephanie that Ozzy was going after her, which was a lie. Mm-hmm. Which is very interesting that this whole thing was kicked off by a lie from Jonathan. You know, I will say, it's interesting. I think that, like, I feel like you want to speak, Tech.
Okay, here's my thing. I feel, and I've said this 1,000 times, in the game of Survivor, I really don't like how did Emily say it in a confessional? She said it perfectly, but like the holier than thou of it all. Because I think in the game of Survivor, you come in and you can play a loyal game. A loyal game in Survivor is incredibly possible. But I think that playing a 100% honest game in Survivor is next to impossible if you want to win the game. You could probably play it and then it just does not go well. I think you probably end up, at best case scenario, 0 vote finalists. Like genuinely best case scenario, I don't think that you're...
Let me tell you, I don't think there is a single person that's made it to the end of the game that has actually not told a single lie.
Yeah.
You know, in the last 20... 30 seasons. Like it just, because it doesn't matter. Like at some point you looked at someone who was the target and said you were voting for someone else. And that's a fucking lie. And sorry. Yep. And and like, it's, we don't like, and just because you're like, well, I didn't lie to my people I was loyal to. Like that doesn't matter. Like the line, you can't draw the line arbitrarily. You either lied or you didn't lie, and you don't get to like judge other people for lying in a circumstance that you deem less okay to lie in. Yeah. So.
Agreed. No, I 1,000% agree. And so I just think, and I think it's, I don't think that, I think what they mean to say is they want to play a loyal game. Like, I think that they're mm-hmm. saying the words incorrectly.
Yeah.
But the words that they're saying, the words that they're saying are like rubbing people the wrong way. And this is an example of, well, not necessarily, like he wants to be loyal to Stephanie in that moment, but he just wants to turn it on Ozzy. And uh-huh. he's like, the way I can do this is by coloring the truth a bit. And
you know what that's called, Jonathan? Strategy.
Which I love it. I love it. Give me more of that. I just think they shot themselves in the foot just by the, literally by the words that they chose to use.
Yeah. And it's a trope, right? Like, this is not the first time. It will not be the last time. So like, what is it about this archetype of player that like lives and dies on this hill, but yet like genuinely always defies it? You know, like, it's just like a funny thing.
I go back to, this is a story, this is a kind of a tangent, but I go back to when I had braces in high school. I learned a lot about myself in this moment, and I believe I've changed since then. But I saw everyone posting on Instagram, like, oh, or on Facebook or whatever we were using at the time. Like when they got their braces off, they would post like a picture of their braces, and I'd go, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be so low key about it. You guys won't even know that I got my braces off. Do you know what I ended up doing? I posted an album to Facebook of all of the photos. Of my, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like you build up this thing in your head of like, I'm going to be so cool and nonchalant and be so trustworthy and so like honest. And then you actually boots on the ground. You're like, well, actually, no, I'm not going to do that at all. But you talked a big game and you can't back it up. You can't back it up. I learned a lot about myself in high school when I did that. And I, you know, felt it. And you know what? Maybe this is a time for reflection. That's all I've got to say for that.
Yeah. I do think it's something about people that have a hard time separating game from life. I think it's like you bringing your real life morals, I do not cheat or lie in my real life, into a game where you sort of have to have any sort of success. And it's hard. I think a lot of people can just see it as a game, and then other people have a hard time going like, it's okay in these, the bounds of this thing that I'm doing. But
100%.
Yeah, I don't know. We need a psychanalysis and get some interesting info. Not because they're like problematic. Because it's like interesting to I want to know what the difference is between that and like people that are like, yeah, it's a freaking game. Let's go.
Yeah. I think it's like Rick Devens, if you will, like, you know, how he started off the episode talking to Emily being like, man, or just saying, I think a confessional, he said, you know, I could get angry, but when I get angry, I don't play very well. But when I have fun, I play great. And so I'm just going to have some fun, which is, I think, a really fun outlook on the game.
Yeah. Well, anything he said, at least my mistakes will be fun if I screw them up. Yeah.
I love that. And I love that. I think that everyone should have that outlook on life as well. Mm-hmm. So with this Aussie move, like, do you think, this all goes back to Suri, right? You know, everyone wants to include Suri on the move, but the problem is they're saying the wrong name. They're bringing up Aussie, they're bringing up Rizzo, they're bringing up whomever else. But it seems like everyone thinks that Suri is on their side. Do we think that, like, you know, if they had kept Suri out of this, that they actually could have gotten the numbers to get Aussie out?
I mean, it certainly seemed like it, right? I mean, it felt like at Tribal, Devens and Aubrey were pushing back against Stephanie, but it was because of all of the things that had happened after that. It seemed like at the beginning when they were all sitting down that they were genuinely open to doing that. We didn't really see confessionals from anyone except Devens, I don't think. So I don't know. But it certainly sounded like there was enough support there and they had the numbers. I don't know why Jonathan even chose to go and, oh no, it was because of Joe, right? So Jonathan tells Joe and Joe tells Suri. Why Joe tells Suri, like, do we even know what their relationship is? I don't remember them ever being
the only time I remember is when they were like kind of like smack talking Devens when he like got the fake idol, and there was like, and he was making her laugh. Like, that's the only time I really truly remember them. Oh, and that is true, right? That is true. They are original Sela, but like they weren't working together at Sela from what I remember.
Yeah, I think Joe was at the bottom of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that maybe he just like made her love him because of making her laugh. Like, maybe that, I mean, that's a real strategy, you know?
Yeah, you like people that keep you, you know, sane out there. So, and let you have a good time. It's so interesting because I didn't expect that. I remember being like, what is he doing? You know, like what? And it feels like it's just because he's so laser focused on Devens that he's like, how dare you try to change the plan on me? I've been trying to get this guy out for 19 days. And, it's very interesting.
Very interesting. And then, so then from Aussie, I believe it goes to Jonathan, right? No, Stephanie.
let's see. Jonathan tries to pull in Joe. Joe tells Ceri. Ceri wants to use Ozzy, Rizzo, Tiffany, and the extra vote to vote out Stephanie.
Yeah, to get Stephanie out, which is that in very interesting moment. And we've heard from Stephanie's exit press as well. We get that moment between Stephanie and Ceri, and Tiffany is right there, where Stephanie is lying to Ceri's face. And in exit press, Stephanie says, like, the only reason why I was lying is because I didn't know if I could trust Tiffany, because Tiffany was right there. But it's this, like, I mean, Ceri has this, like, Godfather-esque, it's that freaking hammock again, like, moment of, like, she's, like, leaning back on the hammock, and
people just come up and whisper things to her.
Yes, yes. It's this, like, Ceri aura. It's incredible. Everyone's pandering to her, even at Tribal Council. People are pandering to Ceri. Rick's whole thing was, look at all them, but Ceri, not you. And then Stephanie's like, but Ceri, not you. It's fascinating.
It's fascinating. I wish, like, I've never even met Ceri. I wish I understood, like, the mist. Because I don't know that I've met anybody ever that seems to have the type of vice grip that she has on people. Is it just that she really convinces everybody that she's with you and not everyone else? Is it that she's just so good at that? Or is it something else? Or, like, what is it? Because all of these people have watched her play four other times and know how dangerous she is and know, like, what she can do. And yeah, you might be like, it's okay to keep her in because we'll beat her at challenges. We can get her out when we want. But at the same time, she is still getting her, like, agenda done. And if your agenda is not her agenda, like, what, why are you falling for it?
It's giving, I can fix him. It's giving, like, do you know what I mean?
It's giving
like, I can fix him. I can do it. Which is just so fascinating because, like, even on Traitors, like, the people who wanted to work with her were fans of hers. So It's like, you should be the ones who are the most wary of her. And yet, oh, but not for me. She wouldn't lie to me. It's fascinating. It's amazing to watch. And we did get her name thrown out, like, really what it feels like for the first true time since episode one. This episode, like, genuinely, it felt like it was the first real time. Every other time didn't feel real. This one felt real to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. I mean, Stephanie was certainly trying to flip it. I think just, I don't know why initially on that beach, they didn't just try to go for Ceri. Why go for Ozzy? He has an idol that everyone knows about. Like, this was the other thing I didn't understand. It's like, why do we feel so secure when you do not have the numbers to split voting somebody who has a freaking known idol, and when his ally is Ceri Fields?
Yeah.
Like, just go for her. What are we doing?
And he can only play it on himself. Like, that's a known rule of this idol. He can't pretend to play it for anybody else. He can literally only play it for himself, which this is kind of a tangent. I would love to get your opinion on that. I feel that when RIP, Genevieve went out, the idol should become full real idols. I think it's if it could boomerang back to her, if the person who sent it goes out, because I truly believe that these idols are now way more powerful than even a real idol, because they can only protect the person that holds it. And it is a known thing that if you vote for this person, then if they play it, they cannot pretend to play it on somebody else. They can't lie, but you also know that it's only protecting this one person. Like, I kind of think they're too powerful now.
That's interesting. I love the idea of it becoming a full idol if the person that gave it to you gets voted out, because it now creates another layer of, like, complexity there where, you know, maybe, like, Devin's lying, I still don't entirely understand why he did this, but, you know, Devin's lying about it, like, Christian getting somebody else to say that he sent the idol. Now if Aubrey is like, oh, well, I would love to have a full-fledged idol, I could, you know, boomerang it back on you. And you might be targeting me to get it back, but I could also be targeting you to make it full for me. So, like, I like that dynamic. I still don't I'd just rather have a regular idol.
Same.
You know, in the brainstorming aspect of it, I do like that. I like that a lot.
Because again, you said it. This goes back to last week, Christian. If you know the Billy idols are not transferable, then why are you targeting Ozzy instead of Suri? They know who has the idols. It does seem odd, and maybe it's just because he's such a big challenge threat. You know, Tiffany won the challenge, but it was Tiffany and Ozzy at the end. Congrats to Tiffany, by the way. I will say,
has Ozzy won one?
He won one. He won one.
Okay.
Yeah. No. He won the boom mic by himself.
Right.
Okay. And I will say, when Tiffany won that, and she said, "I was worried I wasn't going to make it past day 19. I was very nervous. It was going to be a double boot, and she was going to go home anyway." I was really sweating bullets there for a bit, not gonna lie.
Oh, that's funny. That didn't even occur to me.
Because like Tribal Council had like 30 minutes left and he flipped the coin. I was like, oh God, it's another vote.
Yeah, that would have been.
I would have.
Heavens goes home and they still vote.
I was so nervous. But I, you know, maybe it's because Ozzy just has this like physical threat, and maybe Jonathan finds that more threatening than, you know, a strategic social threat.
It was interesting that Jonathan said like Ozzy's playing a different game, he's being more strategic. I mean, I agree. I think that, you know, without Suri, I don't know that we're gonna see this big of a change in Ozzy, but I think it's like clearly a lot of self-awareness to say, I'm not good at this aspect of the game. I'm going to lean on this person I do trust. And like, you know, being able to do that out there is difficult. And also you have to be pretty, you know, like humbled to be like, I don't know what I'm doing and yeah. I need someone else to help me do it. So kudos to him, but Suri's right there. I just don't get it.
Suri, yeah, she's right there. I don't get it either. And then, you know, what I find fascinating also is this, like, and I brought it up in one of my videos, the pendulum swing from alliance to alliance that we're seeing here, where it goes from Christian, it goes from Christian coach, then over to Christian, then you would think, why not get, you know, Rick and or Emily and or Ozzy, or, you know, one of them. Rick Aubrey, not Ozzy. But instead it pendulum swings over to Stephanie. Do you feel like this could then pendulum swing back over to one of the other alliance in this next episode?
Yeah, it's interesting because we know it won't be Devin's probably, right? And so it could be Emily if they're still going that way. Or, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes once there's heat on your name, two tribals in a row going after Ozzy, like that's not great. Yeah. You never want your name in people's mouths, especially repeatedly. Cause once it starts being like, that's how Sam just was always the decoy on our season. Cause it was like, well, might as well do it again.
Might as well. Exactly.
Like, you don't, you're always trying to minimize the amount of people you're burning. And so if you've already voted for someone twice, like, voting for them again at that point, it's just like, yeah, it's just the default, you know. It's much easier than, you know, well, I guess I'll hope that Tegwith doesn't hate me after this vote, you know. Like, it's that's, yeah. So could be him as well, but I don't know. Maybe they'll grow some brains and try to throw some votes in Suri. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
She seems like she's running everything, so I don't think so. You're right though. Devin's is even like pandering to her at the tribal multiple times. It like showed him directly speaking to her, and her like acknowledging him back. Like, it is very like, I don't know, kiss the ring. Like, it's just fascinating.
Part of me also wonders if maybe, I mean, let's not be naive here. They all know that this is going to be viewed by millions of people. And people like me are going to make videos about it on the internet and talk about it. And most of people like me really like Suri. And maybe that also could go into this, because maybe they know that, like, you know, if you get out Suri, maybe you become hated. Like, and I'm not saying that necessarily is the case, but I think that it's part of the game now, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong about that. I think especially if she had gone really early, there would have been a lot of backlash about it. I think this deep into the game, it would probably be fine. To some extent, there's always going to be people that are going to DM you bullshit, but that's going to happen no matter what happens to you. So it doesn't matter.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
So yeah, I think that must play at least a little bit of a role. No one wants to be the person that like murdered Suri on season 50, you know?
I mean, yeah.
Like Sandra, maybe. Maybe Sandra would come and do it or something.
Yes, she totally would. She, oh my God, it'd be so good. It'd be so good. Well, let's talk about the Tribal Council, because I think that, again, before the Mr. Beast twist is even brought out, it was a quite interesting Tribal Council because crazy. Rick lays it all out. He says, this is what happened. I love, again, I've said it 1,000 times. I love a Rick Devons painted into a corner. I love Rick Devons who's between a rock and a hard place because he still can figure. He's like a cat. He can always figure a little way out. He's basically made of liquid. Loved it. How did you feel about his like soliloquy essentially?
I loved it. I think that it's so interesting because, you know, pre-Survivor, you always like, I'll speak for myself. I would always be like, what would I do in this scenario? And then post-Survivor, I still find myself doing it because I'm like, when I get back into a corner, I want to be like, sneaking under the radar, and he is just the polar opposite of that, where it is like I want to like manipulate as much as I can underneath the table, and he is very much like I'm just gonna like amplify, and you know, it's so cool, like it's just something that I don't think I could ever manage to pull off, and it's very fun to watch, and I loved that. I was trying to think through how in this moment, because yeah, how in this moment, Stephanie and Jonathan are wrong, right? They are being called out truthfully, but they need to convince Saria and others that they are not. What can they say? How do they react to this in a way that is compelling and makes Devons look like he's not telling the truth?
Such a good question. It's such a good question because it's like if you deny, you kind of look guilty.
If you push back too hard, you definitely look guilty, which is kind of what happened. I think their initial reactions were not correct. I think they were way too quiet when he started talking. I don't know, but I just feel like in my head, if I was just like, you won't believe what Tegwood said last night, like blah, 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 you would immediately be like, whoa, 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 whoa. And there was none of that. There was none of this like very raw, real reaction to somebody like slandering you. Yeah. And I think that it needed to happen quicker and more authentically there, which obviously it wasn't authentic, but they, you know, if they were trying to like play into it in the moment, I think that that had to be a little bit of the initial reaction to seed the doubt right away. I think waiting to make your case after he's done talking is sort of like too little too late, because you just let him just like steamroll you.
I think you're right. I think you kind of, I hate to use this word, you kind of have to gaslight. I think in this sense, because you have to kind of discredit him. And I think if somebody is saying something like if somebody's like saying a blatant lie about me, like this, I work in hospitality. I have had people tell like guests tell people that I did something when I know I didn't. And my first reaction, I laugh. I go, I'm sorry. What did they say about me? Like, what did they say happened?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like you go, okay, that's quite interesting. Here's how I remember what happened. And like, you have to kind of, because again, if your knee jerk reaction is to like, I think be incredibly defensive right off the bat, I think that's when you're like, well, thou doth protest too much, you know, kind of situation. Yeah. But literally in hospital, like when somebody says a crazy thing about me, I just go, that's ridiculous. Okay. Because you just kind of have to be like, how did you come up with this? Like, that's how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know that like, I think that in that moment, they don't, I mean, in that same moment, your cards are being exposed. So you don't really have.
Yes. You're very bare. You're very surprised. Yeah. You're not in, you have to be so fast to be able to react that way. And they don't even know where it's coming from. So like, they don't have the background info that Joe went to Suri, and Joe is probably like never, Joe is never scheming. So like he is, you know, they have all of the evidence already, and Devon's really just kind of airing it. Mm-hmm. But it would have been interesting if they could have actually like defended in a way that gave Devon's a run for his money. Cause he just took the whole tribal with
he
him.
Did. Like, he was like, he like got the ball got fumbled. He picked it up and ran for a touchdown. Like genuinely. Yeah. And like, no one was even running after him. They were just like shocked it was happening. Cause who in Survivor like tells the truth in front of everybody? Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Who
well, people says, on the bottom. That's what, like, true. That's what's so smart. Is it really like chaos only helps people at the bottom. Yeah. And so if you are at the bottom, it is always in your best interest. Like if you're going to go home today or tomorrow anyway, like shake it the fuck up. Like that's what you got to do because it's just, it's not, the status quo is not working for you. Nope. So
everyone knows that familiar feeling when you just can't answer that one simple question, what's for dinner? Well, thanks to Omaha Steaks, I find myself in that situation way less frequently. Dinner is handled in minutes when I keep my freezer stocked with restaurant-quality protein from Omaha Steaks. And it's not just tender steaks. We're talking flavorful burgers, chicken, seafood, sides, and even desserts, all delivered directly to my door. So whether it's a rushed weeknight evening or a Saturday night cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. And let me fill you in on a little secret I've been using the past few years. Omaha Steaks proteins aren't just great to have in your own fridge, they also make fantastic gifts. When my dad's birthday comes around, I'll gift him one of the many options of steak packs, and it's an instant win-win. One year I got him the complete cookout collection, which is perfect because he enjoys grilling up everyone a great meal, and I make sure I'm there to celebrate with him, so I get a fantastic steak dinner myself. Win-win. Feel free to use that one. And I want to clarify something for any skeptics out there. Yes, frozen delivery can be this good. Omaha Steaks is known for their meticulous aging process and vacuum-sealed individual packaging. Shipped nationwide and arrives frozen, ready for grilling, searing, and roasting with minimal effort and time. No last-minute runs to the store. They can't match the quality Omaha spent generations perfecting. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of meat. We got filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers, each with their own different flavor and style. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. This isn't some rinky-dinky discount. That's $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
In Backtrack by Mark Cameron, the past is prologue for a violent criminal with three names, Ricky Lee Pink. Pink has been rotting in jail for years, plotting revenge against the man who thwarted his almost perfect theft of $5 million in diamonds. That man, Wayne Cutter, is deceased, but his grandson, Arliss, is very much alive, for now. Pink and Cutter are about to collide in a violent confrontation on a floating city in the middle of the water, a massive cruise ship traveling around Alaska's Inside Passage. An experienced U.S. Marshal, Arliss must move fast but cautiously, or he may be the last of the Cutter family tree. As Survivor fans, it's not just the strategy and social dynamics that keep us enthralled. It's also the idea of man versus wild. This concept is at the heart of all Mark Cameron's novels, and it's especially prevalent in Backtrack. It's one of the main reasons I enjoyed this book, and as listeners of The Specialists, I know you will too. If you're an outdoor enthusiast, fan of wilderness thrillers by authors C.J. Box and William Kent Kruger, or just love a fast-paced action thriller from the likes of Brad Thor or Jack Carr, make sure to pick up your copy of Backtrack today. An Alaskan resident and Texas native with nearly 30 years in law enforcement, Cameron is a master of action and gritty detail. He brings explosive authenticity to Backtrack as U.S. Marshal Arliss Cutter's manhunt will employ all his skills and knowledge as a member of the U.S. Marshal's Service. Backtrack by Mark Cameron is available now wherever books are sold.
Now, and then one quick question before we get into the your opinion on the beast situation. Do you think the question on the internet that I've been hearing a lot is, did Stephanie not throw Jonathan under the bus hard enough? Do you feel like there was a world in which she could have gotten the vote turned on to Jonathan by saying, well, okay, you're going to say all of this stuff. Here's what truthfully happened. This is what truthfully happened. Jonathan came to me, blah, blah, blah. Do you think she could have turned the vote, or do you think it was stuck on her?
I don't know that I was aware she knew that it was his fault. Like, I don't like, I don't know in the game if she knew that he made up the thing about Ozzy. Like, I don't know if she understood the chain reaction that happened as a result of that.
That's a good point. That is a very good point, because I think that you're probably right. I don't think that she knew that. But I feel like if somebody is threatening you in your game, I feel like she didn't even say Jonathan's name like once.
No, and I agree. And he voted, like, I also was a little confused as to how the entire vote ended up on Steph. Everybody but her voted. She put two votes on Aubrey, and everybody else voted for her, including Jonathan, including, like, who was the other person that I wasn't expecting that from?
Joe?
Yeah, well, I guess, but we knew Joe was not clearly happy with that, but he didn't vote for Devins.
Yeah.
So I don't, yeah, it's weird.
I think we might learn more about that in this, and maybe at the beginning of the episode, episode 11, because I think that it is weird that John, maybe it's just because, like, at that point when all of the stuff, like, all of the truth has been outed, like, I feel like at that point, Jonathan, like, throwing a vote on Stephanie's not helping his game. Like, he's not saving his game by voting on Stephanie with other people.
Yeah, I agree. So, I wonder, we saw a conversation between Stephanie and Ozzy, right? Where she's like, I'm not, whatever. She said it was Devins and Emily split. I wonder if that was much earlier in the day, because I think at the point where they realized that the plan was, like, cooked, she should have gone to Ozzy and been like, yes, okay, I'm sorry, but it's because, like, Jonathan told me that you're gunning for me. And then he would have been like, no, I'm not. And I think that they might have actually gotten somewhere with that. And then maybe would have turned on Jonathan. Probably, maybe not. But I just think that those are the risks you always take, because she wasn't going to do it earlier when she thought the plan was still a secret. She's not going to call him on it. But then you have to, like, circle back to that if you do figure out that people know. And so that you can sort of try to clear the, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's tough because she doesn't know that there was a lie. So how does she know to, like, have the conversation to clear the air about the lie that didn't, like, she doesn't know it was a lie.
True.
That's why Survivor is so hard. Cause you never have all the information. And so we can sit here and talk about, like, should have done this and should have done that, but it's so hard to know what you're supposed to do. And there's so little time.
And I will say, I feel like this episode did it really showed how chaotic, like, I think a lot of times Survivor tries to show the viewers, like, how chaotic it is, but I don't think they do a very good job. But I think that this episode and what was going on was so chaotic that it really truly felt like I was like, what is going on? What's happening? And I'm watching it all unfold. I'm seeing it all unfold. And yet I'm still like, so I have no idea who said who and who said what and what's going on. I had to, like, watch it, like, twice in order to get some semblance of, like, an idea of what was going on. And I feel like they don't capture that much in Survivor. This one felt like they really showed us, like, you truly don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I loved it. I enjoyed watching it. I talked to my dad yesterday and I asked him if he liked the episode. And he was like, I fast forwarded. It was too much talking. I was like, okay. Yeah. You couldn't, like, keep up. He, like, couldn't track it.
So
he was like,
so
I'm not
funny.
Interested in, like, figuring this out. But he loved Mr. B. So there's that.
I mean, you know what? I kind of liked him too, but the coin flip I didn't necessarily love. What are your thoughts on this advantage and also disadvantage coming into the game? Obviously, 50-50 flip seemed like Rick volunteered, but it was kind of like a let's put him in. So what are your overall thoughts on this?
I mean, it's sort of like do or die 2.0, right? With better odds, actually, I think, right?
Yeah.
And I expected to hate it more than I did. As I said earlier, I don't love it and I don't think they should do it again, but I think it was fine. I think it was fine for season 50 for this specific thing that they're doing. I do think it's like, I don't know how you would change it. Cause obviously he's gotta be immune tonight, Devins. It feels a little too much to also give him an idol. Yeah. It's sort of like one of those things where it feels like maybe it's, I'm just saying that because it's Devin's and he's at the bottom and he very well could have gone home. And so it feels like giving him two passes is like a lot. Whereas if it was someone that was not in trouble or they drew rocks and it was someone random, that does feel like you've taken this huge risk, but something about it being the person that's like the easiest target feels like it's too powerful. So maybe I'm not being fair. But yeah, I mean, I think they could have just flipped the coin about trying to double the prize money without, you know, any of this other stuff. But that's
yeah, funny. I think you're right. I think the thing I kept saying was just we're one and done. Like they got extremely lucky that it hit. I think that we would not, I think the episode would have been very good no matter what, which is why I think it was extremely lucky that it hit, because if we had done all of that talking, all of that strategizing, Rick Devin saying all this stuff, and he just goes out because of a coin flip, I just feel like it would have been not all for nothing, but I do think it then gives Stephanie and Jonathan time to regroup and figure something out and maybe figure out a way to get out, which maybe would have been very interesting. And I maybe would have liked that. But I think that I really enjoy seeing the scramble and what happens coming directly from a scramble.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that we got very lucky and I'm very happy it happened, which is like, I'm happy it happened. I just never want to see it again. That's like the main thing here. Like never, ever, ever, unless it's like season 75. Fine. Yeah. Bring it back. The quarter quells, bring back a coin flip, different stakes every single time, whatever. Fine. But regular season, definitely. Cause the I will say the do or die to me is worse because it's like the first person who falls out of a challenge and that sucks.
Agree.
I like that Devin's got to volunteer. I also am interested in hearing how Aubrey almost did it and how Stephanie tried to volunteer and like, you know, how people were actually trying like that. I think is very interesting. But happy it happened, happy it hit, fun experiment. It paid off, but you know what? We're not going to do it again. Please.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Wholeheartedly.
And now, you know, he was given an idol. Somebody said, I think this was like on Threads or something. Somebody said something where it was like, it's very interesting to see Rick Devin's hide a fake idol at Tribal Council, pull a fake idol at Tribal Council, and ultimately and get a real one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind That's of poetic.
Crazy. Yeah.
Kind of, it's a real kind full of beautiful. Real full circle moment. Well, while we're bringing, like, you know, he has this idol and I love Rick Devin's with Nato. Let me read what's going to happen in episode 11, the synopses. I read this ahead of time. I told everyone last podcast, I'm now wary of these, but it seems this seems fine. So what happens is castaways find themselves on both a literal and figurative island after their return from what is regarded as one of the, quote, craziest tribals of all time. Castaways reflect on their letters from home. Oh, we forgot about that. That also happened. And family members that have impacted them. Then a shocking incident takes place at this week's immunity challenge. Dun, dun, dun. Does that mean anything to you? Means nothing to me. That there's a bunch of words that
pretty
that
vague, gives, pretty vague, pretty I high think, level survivor.
I mean, I think that they were too specific a couple episodes ago, and the last ones have been very, very like,
tighten it up, tighten it up.
Yeah. Now, one thing I find interesting is we have what, 9 people left in the game? Yes.
I thought it was 8 now.
8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's 8. You're right. Thank you. It's okay. 8 people left in the game. Interesting that they bring up the loved ones letters, which was a beautiful moment. I really want to meet Rick Devin's wife because she seems incredible. Mm-hmm. Interesting that they're bringing this up again. Are we going to get another heartfelt moment or are we getting a loved ones visit?
You think they'd do that right after a letter?
I don't know. Unlikely. It seems unlikely, but like what? But
this is the time frame. Yeah, it could be.
It's usually around like 7-ish, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah. To me, it felt like someone's letter. I was thinking more of like a Jesse moment. Like, you know, go get that money, baby. And like someone's like emboldened by something in their letter.
I could see that. I could see that. I think that I think that that is probably what happens. Do you think we'll get a loved one's visit this season? Or do you think, like, this craziness, the twists and the turns are the things being brought back? We're done. Do you think we're done?
Yeah. I think it just feels like it would be kind of crazy for them to do letters and a visit.
I agree.
You know, like, I think that wouldn't they be like not doing letters and holding it over their heads and they're like, blah, blah, blah. But then maybe they would expect a visit if they didn't get letters. So I don't know.
I don't know either. I kind of feel like with the loved ones visit, why they spent a lot of time. Now, granted, it was a 2-hour episode, but they spent a lot of time talking about the letters. And we heard a lot from Joe and Aubrey talking about the letters. And I kind of go back and forth being like, the reason why they're doing that is they're setting the stage for the loved ones visit. But then I'm like, I don't know. We also just heard everything about them. So like maybe it's too much. Like I can't decide. Yeah. Like one day I'm one and the next day I'm next. Like I cannot decide.
Yeah. I feel like it's a no, but I don't know.
I don't know either. I do love the challenge that they're doing next week. They're doing the, like, I equate this with Woo. I remember, or is it Woo that does it?
Wait, can you zoom in? Sorry. I don't know what one it is.
It's the triangle one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or, and I also equate, I'm like, are they going to play the alphabet game?
Oh, right. Q.
And I'm pretty sure. Are they going to do it properly?
Yeah. Yeah, and Jonathan's done this challenge before. I'm pretty sure they did it because either him or Lindsay won. I can't remember. I kind of think it was Lindsay.
I think it was too. But I think this is going to be a fun one to watch. Interesting. So with everything that's going on, and the next time on Survivor, we hear like Emily being like, maybe he can play it on me. Maybe this is the first time we have a real idol in the game where there's like real stakes around it. And it's Rick Devins's hands, like, and everybody knows it's real. Do we think that he'll play it right away? Cause how Aubrey says it's like a scarlet letter, or do we think that there will see like a bunch of commotion around it?
I feel like there's going to be commotion cause it's Rick Devins, right? I think that he is going to, at the very least, he said the thing about Rizzo where he was like, you know, I'm going to bluff with it or whatever in this last episode. So I find it hard to believe he would just burn it immediately if he still feels like he's at the bottom. I think he would try to ensure that he's sort of like has implicit immunity for a vote or two before having to actually play. I mean, who knows? Because it's sometimes you don't get that choice. But I also wonder how much goodwill he bought doubling the prize pot. Like, will people shift away from him for a vote just to not be assholes? You know, like, it would probably feel pretty bad to be like, yeah, you doubled the prize pot yesterday and I'm voting you out tomorrow. Like, that, there's something about that that probably doesn't sit well with at least, like, a couple people. So I wonder if that will buy him, like, a day.
That's really, really interesting. Because I think that that might be real because I think, you know, I will say it was just the advantage. The advantage was happening no matter what. Like, to play devil's advocate here, somebody had to go up and do it. And again, completely lucky that it hit. Maybe somebody, you know, but we've also seen like people get chosen to take other people on a loved one's visit or on a great reward or something else. And all of a sudden they turn on them quickly. So, you know, who knows? I will say, though, he is a big target now. I mean, he's been a big target, but now he is such a good shield. He is a better shield than almost anybody left in the game.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird that how that works, right? Where you can be on the bottom, but you're so flashy that it's sort of the Q-ness of it all. Like, where it's a person that's, like, so loud and outlandish and, like, hard to read, and yet people sort of dismiss them and like put them on the bottom, but then like to use them as a shield, which doesn't feel like it should work because you shouldn't be a shield if people think you're not like someone to worry about. So like, what, it's again one of those like confusing dynamics that really doesn't make a lot of sense and somehow plays out in a way that it's it's compelling, but it's like hard to understand, you know?
Very compelling, especially in a season like this, where I really felt like they kept saying, like, up until this episode, like, oh, the people in the middle, the people in the middle. I was like, there is no middle. There are multiple sides. I feel like it's more of like a circle and everyone's on the outside of the circle. Everyone thinks other people are in the center of that circle, but I really truly don't believe there were like that many connectors other than Ceri, that like, you know, and I think it goes like, oh, we got to get the people in the middle out, but then they're really talking to the person in the middle. Like Ceri really is that woman in the middle. And I'm just fascinated by, again, we've talked about it, her mist, but also just like the way her mind works and the strategy of it all, because you can paint other people as a target or as the people floating in the middle or whatever else. Yeah. When in fact, that's not true at all. It's actually the person who's saying all of that.
Yeah, there's another thing here that I think also might be happening, like you said earlier, where it's maybe it's being mislabeled with like the honesty and the loyalty. I feel like the middle is more like the nothings in the Rob Cesarino hierarchy of things. It's, you know, the threats, the what's the middle one? I forgot. Sorry. It's like the threats, the something, and the nothings, right? And
yeah, first page of the book.
I also have mine here, right here, literally. Yay, Rob.
I'm so excited because the arc that I got is black and white. Oh. And I was very excited about like all of that. And then this one is color. I'm doing a compare and contrast to see what they changed. I'm very excited about it. Fun. Comes out in a couple days or tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, I think.
Pugging another podcast right now.
Sorry, Tegwith.
No, I was the one that did it. I'm the one
that chat's amazing, guys. You should tune in. but the threats, the losers, and the nothings, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the three things. And it's like, I think they're kind of talking about the nothings, right? Because they're like, the losers are the people at the bottom. The people you aren't worried about, the threats are the people that are threatening. And then the people in the middle, it's not middle as in alliance middle floaters. It's middle as in like, they're just kind of like skating by, not doing too much and not doing too little, not pissing people up. You know, they're, I think that's what they mean by that. But because in the past, the middle is also
So. I think that's a really good read. I think you're right, because you know, I loved that moment where Coach was like talking to Rick Devins and Rizzo was like, he's the one we're worried about. Like, what are you doing? Like, he's the one we're talking about. And I think it's going to be really fascinating, because I think that we're going to see the game flip here coming up. Like, I think people who weren't emboldened are now emboldened. People who, you know, is this the time to go for Rick because he won't expect it? Or is it the time to go after somebody that everyone was pandering to at Tribal Council, being Rizzo? I mean, not really Rizzo, but like Ceri and Ozzy and Rizzo, like that group of people, like, is that the time? And then the other thing to really think about here is the amount of, this is a more, you know, not analytical, I can't think of the word, but we have three episodes left, 11, 12, and 13. 13 is the finale. If we're assuming it's going with the old school finale, there are six people left in the finale there. Mm-hmm. And which means that I believe we have, oh, and also it is nine people. We were forgetting somebody in that list. Sorry to the person, I forget who it was. But in two episodes, we have to get rid of three people to get down to the six for the finale. So are we going to see another double boot with only
Blood Moon part two?
Oh God.
Just kidding. I'm not putting that on the universe. Yeah, there's definitely, I feel like you're right. There has to be a double, right? Next episode or the one after that, in order to get us to six, which I think is historically 20 person seasons, how the finale is, right?
Yeah.
Medivac on the table. Who?
Medivac. Oh, we also have a medivac on the table. What are we talking about? Because of the shocking incident? I feel like it'd be really impressive to get medivac'd off of this challenge.
It's like a really hard hit to the crotch.
I mean, maybe, honestly, but it looks so calm. Like, I feel like you're falling into water. I could be very wrong. Maybe it's a
serious groin injury. Okay, Chegwin.
Oh, man. I think that would be crazy to see a medevac here because, again, the other thing is we're dealing with a season where Kyle got medevacs in the first episode. So we didn't have to see a double boot at some point because Kyle got medevacs. Was it going to be the first episode? Was it going to be another time? We don't know. But because, sorry, Kyle, Kyle got medevacs, we didn't have to see another double boot. So if there is another medevac, that means they would have had to plan. Oh, it got dark all of a sudden. They had to plan for a double boot at some point. I just feel like this is so late in the season to do a double boot.
Yeah.
But we're really only going to have like 10 people left. So it's not like 9 people left. So it's like,
do you think it'll be a double or do you think it'll be like 2 episodes squished into one? You know what I mean? When they just do like, we'll have challenge, tribal versus like an actual true double.
I could see that. I could really see that. I mean, I could also see, and I love this kind of a twist. It's one of my favorites because I find it fascinating, but they do it a lot in Australian Survivor where they do a challenge at tribal council and they've done it like 2 or 3 times in American Survivor. I think maybe 1 or 2 times.
They're always like quizzes, right?
Yeah.
I remember like a locked one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love bring back quizzes on Survivor genuinely. But I think that would be a really interesting thing here to see a double boot in the way that somebody still gets immunity. Like there's still, it's not 2 people at the same exact tribal. It's technically 2 separate tribals. So I think that would be a very interesting thing to see. Whether or not it happens, I kind of doubt it. But I kind of like those kinds of double boots because you're still thinking about the strategy that had just happened. But somebody who was on the bottom maybe gets immunity. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Throws a wrench into everybody's plans.
And as long as like, I think like the quiz ones were good versus a, you know, touchy subjects, because that is like riggable. And I guess you could share your answer with somebody, but put them in a booth, like put them, you know, put a blocker and I don't know. And then it really is kind of fair game.
Like and the, when have
know,
we
who has 2 tattoos or like whatever the hell you want to ask.
When's the last time we've done that? Like, I feel like we have not seen that in such a long, like a quiz. Was it Redemption Island, maybe? Like, I genuinely cannot remember the last time we've seen a quiz. And I think this is a very interesting time for an immunity challenge because it brings back, and we know how I love a social game. You know, we know how I talk about that a lot. This then not only will expose the person who knows the most about a lot of people, maybe that exposes a really good social player, but also I think it puts the importance back onto, you know, why in the game getting to know other people actually can genuinely help you in the end. And not just seeing like a Christina asking, you know, Savannah, name a loved one, right? But it's like an actual like challenge in a game. I would love to see that. I don't know that they'll do that though, because I feel like, no hate Jeff, I feel like Jeff doesn't necessarily love those. I think he likes the physical, like macho, like challenges.
Yeah. It would be fun to do. I think they could do touchy subjects just one more time. And they make everybody go like, I don't know. I think as long as they completely surprise them with it, you show up to the challenge, they take every single person into their own, like with their own handler, and you have to fill out your thing right away. And then, you know, like you fill it out ahead of time and then it's guessing what everyone said, you know, kind of thing.
You know, it'd be fun to do touchy subjects because touchy subjects, one of my favorite challenges. I love touchy subjects. Do it, but where you can't see who other people voted for. Like obviously in the filling out the thing, but like when you actually say you get the question right and you get to go, you know, chop something or whatever they're doing, fill up a thing. You don't know. Maybe it's like you fill up a basin and you don't know it's over off in a separate area and you don't know whose basin has been filled up and people can't see you doing it. And so like you are just targeting the person that you want to go and maybe it ends up being, you know, the same person as 2 other people and that person is out of the game. But that way you really can't strategize with that.
Interesting. Huh. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's ways to do it.
There's so ways to do it.
There's definitely ways to do it. I think it's not as compelling of television. I think like asking questions and seeing things like that. But I think it can cause so much drama, which will make more compelling television afterwards. And so it's sort of like the challenge itself might lack a way in a way that they're not excited about. But I think the fallout is always a little more exciting.
It's so good. It's so good. Oh my gosh. I love the fallout. I love the drama. I love it when they go, when Natalie Anderson is like, look, do you see what has happening here? Like, it's just iconic. Now I know we talked about this a bit at the beginning, but who, like, is there anybody that you're particularly nervous for? I mean, you said Ozzy, you said maybe Devins. Is there anybody else going into episode 11 that you're particularly nervous for based on, you know, this last episode?
Well, I don't think Devins based on the fact that he's an idol. But I think he's safe for at least a vote. And I think he's smart enough to use it for at least another one, probably. I think I would be surprised if he doesn't try to bluff with it. I don't know. I feel like Rizzo has kind of tanked in visibility the last little bit here. He was very visible for a while, and he is a, you know, Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
And we've seen a lot of heat on Ozzy, so he's definitely one of my answers, but it could also backfire on Rizzo if nobody's taking shots at Suri for whatever unknown reason. ? So I think, but also I just feel like, I don't know, Emily and Aubrey just kind of always being sort of in that unknown space. But they're not in power. They're not totally on the outs, but they just feel like very, I don't know that either of them have a lot of longevity based on what we've seen. So yeah. How about you?
I kind of see that. I also, this is a very weird side thing. I am weirdly nervous for Tiffany going into this episode. Kind of because like it honestly harkens back to, bringing up Rob Cicinino again, Rob's first season where he had just gotten somebody out. I cannot remember their name. And everyone was really mad. And he said, you know, it, like they were fighting or whatever else. And he's like, why are we letting this person decide? Let's just get out. I think it was Christy, right?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Let's just get her out. Like, why are we letting her be the decider? Like, let's just get her out. And I feel like Tiffany does not have like a strong alliance like a lot of other people still do in this game.
Who are her allies? She's close with Aubrey and she seems kind of close with Suri, but like isn't actually in either, like I guess the Aubrey thing is probably an alliance, but like isn't actually in Suri's circle, just like maybe like the fourth in that circle or something, right?
Yeah it's like she definitely is orbiting in that world, but she's not the top two. But I definitely think that she's somebody important to Suri, so I think that that is somebody. And I think that maybe she has a working relationship with Joe because of the pasta situation, like they shared that reward, and maybe there's some camaraderie there from that. But like I just don't really feel like she is somebody who is in on a lot of the conversations. She's not like, and I really worry that she's going to be a Christy at some point. Oops. She's going to be a Christy at some point where people are like, why are we like, why is nobody talking about Tiffany? Like she's won two immunities. Why is nobody talking about Tiffany? And I feel like that her number could be coming up kind of soon because of like, it just, no one's mentioned her. Yeah. And I think that she, it almost ultimately ended up being good that like all of her allies went out because then she was not with anybody and she was like a number.
Yeah.
But I worry that that could be, her luck could be ending kind of soon. I don't want to see that. She was my preseason winner pick, but it's just something that I've been thinking about recently.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good thing to think about. Cause Yeah, and she was so invisible for so long. So there's just like, she's had a very weird arc.
Really weird.
And very like hero moment this episode, which is never the best sign. No. When you come out of kind of nowhere to be like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel moment. Like we saw it with Camilla. Camilla was kind of, we didn't see her at all. And then she had a big episode and then she was gone the next episode. So like, I feel like, and we've been seeing a lot more of Tiffany, like right around the merge, we've been seeing way more of her. So it's not necessarily good, like the exact same thing, but it's just like been this thing in the back of my head that I've been thinking about a lot.
Yeah, I hear you.
I think it's going to be an interesting episode. I'm always nervous for Suri going in, but she's amazing. And I feel like she can wiggle her way out of most things. And I'm excited. I think it's going to be a fun episode just because, again, I love to see Rick Devens unleashed. I love to see him go crazy. He looks like he's not looks. He was like clicking his heels. So, you know, whatever made him do that, I'm excited about.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great television.
Well, Rachel, obviously we have the most important thing. We haven't talked about it yet. It's the most important part of the episode. Everyone's been sitting on the edge of their seat. Who is going to win the Alley-Oop Award? We've had 1,000 comments.
I mean, I gotta say somebody in mind? I gotta say Devens. Yeah, right? I mean, like, how do you, who set themselves up better for tomorrow? Who is the only person safe for tomorrow? I mean, I guess you could say Ozzy and Rizzo with their idols as well, but it's like, I just feel like to go from someone who is everyone's easy target, you know, at the bottom, to, you know, two immunities in a row, pretty good setup for yourself.
Pretty good. I feel like he, I feel like I usually have this season, I've had a lot of trouble with the Alley-Oop Award because I feel like there are so many like extenuating circumstances, a lot of factors that are going into this decision. Cause it's like, I feel like with a newbie season, we don't have any background information. There aren't these like pre-existing relationships. There's like nothing like that in a newbie season. So I think it's a little bit easier. This is the first time this season where I'm like, people didn't say Rick Devens, like what's happening? Like we are all, I think we're all on the same page on this one.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be really, really fun to watch all of the chaos ensue. Rachel, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on. You're so much fun to talk about Survivor with. And, you know, you clearly know what you're talking about. I don't know.
I try. I don't always, but I do my best.
Do you have anything that you want to plug here? Maybe a puzzle?
Well, I am still working on making puzzle games. We've got Puzzle Hungry Umami Rush coming. It is on its way to America. So please, if you haven't checked it out, please do so. PlayResolve.com. We have a brand new website up. Hopefully it's not too buggy. And you can pre-order it there. It should be 2 people by end of June, early July. We're still waiting on the confirmation of the exact dates that we will get them so that we can start to ship them out. But yeah, and more games on the way. We are designing. We've got like 4 things we're working on right now. So very busy over here, having the best time trying to come up with fun ways to play with puzzles that are unique. And it's a dream come true. So yeah, that's what I'm about right now.
That is so cool. I'm so excited. I got one of the Kickstarters and I'm very excited. I got it. I'm not very good at puzzles. I'm very bad at them, but my cousin is very good at them and she sits and does them all the time. And so this was her Christmas gift. And so I'm very excited to give it to her. I'm really, really, really excited. I was able to also play the, the small one. It was a
The little appetizer.
The appetizer. I loved that. That was so much fun. It's a great game. I played it when I was watching, when I would be watching, like rewatching episodes, I would play it when I was sitting. So everyone should go check it out. If anybody is coming to New York City for the RHAP event this week, I will be at that. And I would love to see you guys. Please, please come up and say hi. I love chatting about Survivor. Don't know if you can tell with everybody, anybody and everybody. So please come up and say hi. So if you're coming, please come and say hi. But we have a really fun week. Obviously, all of the regular programming, my guest next week is still TBD, but I think it's going to be a fun episode. So it should be a good one to talk about. But thank you all so much for listening and commenting and chatting.
Yeah, thanks, comments.
Yes, thank you so much. And Rachel, again, thank you so much for coming on. And I will see everybody right here next week for Matt Chat. Until then, have a lovely week, everybody.